everyone. I'd like to call the Ways and Means Committee meeting of May 19th, 2020 to order. Please take roll call, Natalie.
Archer.
Here.
Ronk.
Present.
Bartels.
Here.
Guevara.
Present.
Haynes.
Here.
Mayo.
Here.
Walter.
Here.
Okay. The resolutions for the legislative programs, resolution number 129 to 143, I'll take a motion to postpone as we all agreed to send the questions out to the organizations.
I'll move we postpone it.
Thank you. Second?
Second that.
Second.
All in favor of the postponement?
Aye.
Okay. Resolution 182, authorizing the issuance of an additional 18,400 in bonds of the County of Ulster to pay for part of the cost improvements at the Veterans Cemetery.
I'll move it.
Second?
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Resolution 191, establishing a policy for funding non-county organizations. Move?
I'll move it for discussion.
Okay, second?
Second for discussion.
Second.
Legislator Ronk?
Thanks. I would like to make a motion that we postpone this until next month. I think that Legislator Walter brought up some good comments on it. Anybody else who has any, please feel free to email them to me, or I'm sure that if you email them to Natalie, she'll be able to ferry them to me, and then Legislator Petit and I can go over them together and try to, you know, incorporate as many of them as we can. I think it's important to get this right, but I also think it's important not to dawdle for months. So I'm hoping to be able to have something that can go to public hearing, not public hearing, it's a policy, but I'm hoping to have something that can come forward next month.
On the postponement, do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, all in favor of postponement?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, thank you. Resolution 193, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to enter into an agreement under the HAVA CARES COVID-19 grant with the New York State Board of Elections.
I'll move it.
Move it. And second?
Second.
Second.
Legislator Ronk?
Thanks. This is important funding, you know, especially considering the, you know, the state of our elections, where our Board of Elections, along with the rest of them, are being required by executive order to send absentee applications with postage paid envelopes to every voter who is eligible to vote in the primary. You know, with the court's decision today, if there are those who haven't seen it, and the Board of Elections' decision not to appeal it, there will be a presidential primary, so every Democratic voter in Ulster County is going to be getting an absentee ballot application with postage paid, and then if they send that back, is going to get a ballot with a postage paid envelope as well, which is going to prove very costly to the county. That's why I'm supporting the funding. I do want to point out that for at least the second time this year alone, the Board of Elections did not follow our proper processes for resolution introduction. This time, you know, not following the process for, you know, introducing a late resolution. You know, I understand that we need to move forward on this because it's important funding for the county, but I think that we really need to start thinking about whether we want to empower the Board of Elections to just ignore our processes by continuing to just do what they want in spite of the fact they didn't follow our processes. That's all I have.
Okay, anyone else? Okay, on the resolution, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. Okay, under new business, there's a couple of items I'd like to get to tonight. When we were reviewing the legislative appropriations, we noticed that two items were left off our list that should be considered. One is the integrate the firefighter training on site, that $15,000 that came to Ways and Means that we approved back in the during the budget cycle. And then we also had, and I believe this was from Ways and Means as well, the RFP for integrated community outreach and recovery services. That was for $50,000. There was some conversation of some stuff that came out of legislative programs, and they moved. We moved it to Ways and Means to help establish the RFP process. So we've added them to the list. But Mark, I'm glad you're on because we had a question for you. This RFP went out without any of our approval. And then noticed that there was an announcement in the newspaper about Samadhi being given $50,000 to address the Narcan, I believe it was Narcan training, some training and some outreach. So we were just a little confused as to what transpired here and why we never had an opportunity to review the RFP before it went out. We understand Samadhi was the only person, the only organization that responded to the RFP, and we're trying to connect the dots, and we're a little confused on how this transpired.
Yeah, so my understanding is that the RFP is still not been awarded, that the funding that went out through Samadhi, to the extent that any has already, has gone through the Columbia HEALS grant, I believe.
So it's separate, it's not part of this?
Correct, and it's not county funding.
Pardon me?
And it's not county, technically county funding.
Okay, so this one is still-
This RFP has not been awarded, it's
no,
still-
No, it has not.
Right.
Right. That's why we were checking, we wanted to be clear because there was some confusion what had announced this RFP, et cetera. Legislative Walter.
Sorry, I thought I understood and then I got confused. Is this funding not HEAL funding?
No, I believe it is. No, this was the legislative appropriation that you all had put in the last budget. Well, sorry, not you, Legislative Walter, but others who are here last year put in the budget to be like a legislative programs funding for peer-to-peer counseling that was going to be an RFP, which the RFP did go out. Samadhi was the only one to respond, and then COVID hit, and it was never awarded.
If I may, one more question that you haven't answered, which was how could the RFP go out when we did not have a chance to review it and authorize its release? So we were a little confused by that.
I'll double check with that. That was not my understanding, but I will take a look.
Okay. Legislator Bartels?
Yeah, I was just going to ask if the RFP was written with legislative input. Or whether it came strictly out of the executive's office?
My understanding is that it was done with Ed Jordan and the health department to craft it, but we got a draft, but we never commented and had the opportunity to comment on it because everything was being held at that juncture. So how it got out was, that's what I'm kind of trying to piece together here.
Thank you.
Happy to come back next month with, you know, answers to those questions.
Okay. Legislator Hines.
Haynes.
Hey. Sorry.
Okay, I've been called worse.
What did I say? I think I was saying Heidi and Haynes.
Yeah, it came out Hines.
Yeah, Hines. Okay.
So this question actually is directed to Mark or anyone else actually that has the answer to this question. Currently, how much funding has Samadhi received? Have they received zero funding from Ulster County?
I'd have to double check that. I believe they've received some funding, but I don't know exactly what.
I believe, is it 26 to date? Is that what we've seen in the financial system? Amber?
But again, that's county money, that wouldn't be including the HEAL
this what was announced a week or so ago, correct?
And are we in some way continuing to partner with Samadhi as a county?
Yeah, so, Through the HEAL grant, we are. They're doing peer-to-peer research. I think we're helping fund that. They're doing peer-to-peer counseling. And I believe we're helping to fund that. And then I know this RFP was out there. If it didn't get, you know, I know the draft was sent to you. If you all didn't review it and approve it, it can come back since it's been probably beyond the amount of time that we would normally award something anyway.
But you're telling us that what we were going to go out for RFP for, you're already paying Samadhi to do, correct?
I believe through the HEAL grant. You're shaking your head no, Vicky. I believe through the HEAL grant.
I think there's just some confusion on it. The legislature appropriated $50,000. We did in our office what we could do to get the process going so that the legislature's amendment didn't just fall flat. But I'm positive that I sent an email to Ed Jordan saying that we weren't going to move forward with the contract at this point because Ways and Means had just had session where they postponed everything, sent all the contract agencies back. So I'm positive I said to Ed Jordan, there's no way I'm going to tell you to do this without the legislature's input. That being said, if the executive finds money in a different budget to do it, and from what I understand from Vin Martello, it's completely reimbursable, I'm not sure the legislature would be involved in that. So we just have some questions we have to work out.
And just be clear on as we go forward, particularly since we're looking at all of the legislative program appropriations.
Yeah, I mean, you might be able to take the $50,000 and save it. If Pat figured out how to do it some other way, awesome. We can save $50,000.
Yeah. Right.
But we need to talk about that process, Mark.
Yep, happy to do so. I mean, I will let you know that we are, you know, our numbers of overdoses and fatalities are on the rise. You know, I don't think that this is a zero-sum game. Like, I don't think that we could do both. I think that, you know, you all are going to review your legislative programs and do whatever you're going to do with those and find which ones are essential or not. But I do know, you know, the work that Samadhi's doing is needed. I believe that we were able to use some of the other funds from a grant to get it up and going because I know that that RFP was delayed. And so I believe we ran with it, but you know, it's something that I can bring back and discuss next month.
Legislator Haynes, then Bartels.
Yeah, I just want to remind the committee that this was first in front of legislative programs back in the fall as a funding request. And it was of the it was desired by the board of the Legislative Programs Committee that this would go out to an RFP, and that's how it ended up turning into an RFP.
Mm-hmm. Legislator Bartels.
Yeah, and I just want to clarify. I mean, Vicky just said something about reimbursement. And we don't have to get too deep into it now, but I'm a little confused if we have a $50,000 contract with Samadhi through the county that's going to get reimbursed by some other mechanism, it still should have come to the legislature first because it's a $50,000 contract. I mean, you never know about the reimbursement. If we're spending county money up front, it should have come to us as well. So that's really different than it's somebody else's money and somebody else is paying them from the start. And we put the two people together and said, here you go, meet this person and they're gonna pay you to do this thing, great. But if the money's coming from the county and it's eventually gonna be reimbursed, we should have seen that contract at $50,000 because that's the threshold, which is what was reported in the news. We wouldn't have known about it if it wasn't reported in the news.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, we wouldn't have known about it if it wasn't reported in the news, but it was reported in the news at 50,000, which means it should have come to the legislature, which is a different issue than, do we want to now spend an additional 50,000 on this, you know, on the same or extended services, that which we should have that conversation as well. And Mark, I think also different from what Legislator Haynes was bringing up in terms of the RFP.
Right. Mark, did you want to respond?
No, I just said if there was a contract out there that was 50 or more, it would have come to you. So that's, I'm just trying to reach out to the folks at the health department and find out. But it doesn't matter whether it would have been reimbursed, you would have got it back. You would have got it for approval, and then it would have been reimbursed. So there is nothing out there that's 50 or higher that's a contract through Somata yet at this point.
So it was misreported in the news, you're saying?
I'm saying it could be a rounding error. I don't know. I have to.
Can we see a copy of the contract, please?
Yes. I'll bring it back and bring it to you next month.
If you could get it to us
now and then, I will send
that
it.
That would be great. Thank you. Legislative Walter.
Yeah, so I'm very supportive of this program, just for the record. But if this was done before I was a legislator, that means it was done before we had HEAL fully in place and knew what kind of funding and how. So when you're also talking to them, can you find out how much HEAL is providing them to do these potentially the same services? Because it may already be covered.
Sure.
And one final point on this is that, knowing that we already had an RFP out there for the same type of services, and then having this go out, you know, we're not communicating clearly. I mean, if Pat wants to announce this, this is great. It's an important program. It's one given the current issues that we are addressing, but a little more coordination and discussion prior would be very beneficial. I mean, we are holding them fine, but, you know, it just created more confusion. And if there was more conversation about this kind of thing, I think we can avoid that. So I would just ask for future. You knew the RFP was sitting out there. You guys contracted them with them for the same thing. It just would have been really helpful. Had we not seen this, we could have been out there considering a peer-to-peer program in this process that we're putting in place. So it just, we can have better communication, I guess, is what I'm asking for. Thank you. Okay, as it relates to the discussion around the budget, one of the things that we had been talking about is, you know, I've talked to each of you individually, each of you had some ideas, and I thought, let's start brainstorming. You know, we had the New York State Comptroller DiNapoli come out today and really kind of, I think, put a pause on everybody's thinking as it relates to what is happening and the COVID crisis and the shutdown of basically all of our small businesses and some of the gaps, revenue gaps that they're talking about in the 30, 40, and each month we're closed, 50 billion. And I think we should be talking about what kinds of things can we be doing. Yes, we're looking at resolutions. Yes, we're asking questions and we're pushing back. But you know, we've asked a couple of times, and Mark, maybe you can help us with this. We've asked a couple of times in leadership meetings to get an understanding of, you know, what are the 10% that the department heads have identified as opportunities. You know, maybe we can, and that can be shared with us. At least we have some insight as to where they're looking to hold the line so we can start monitoring. But I open it up to ideas and some additional questions. Legislator Walter.
Thank you. I imagine everyone probably feels that 10% was a floor, not a ceiling, that it's not going to be sufficient. And I guess I wonder, you know, if I was to have it in a perfect world, it would be similar to how we're thinking about the legislative programs, where not just this universal cut, but really understanding for each type of program, how it's providing services right now with COVID, what kinds of services would it provide once we're in phase 1, 2, and 3, and 4? And it may not be equal. There might be some departments that could be cut more and some departments that really can't stand a cut, a further cut. So I guess I would really like, I don't know how that would look, but some way of getting a stronger sense of the different departments and that how they're translating into, again, the immediate need and how we roll out and make ourselves stronger so that we can make smart decisions about make suggestions of how to really get to the budget crisis, you know, resolve that budget crisis as best as possible.
Legislator Mayo?
I would think that there should be some sort of leadership meetings, I guess is the best way to put it. Maybe weekly with Executive Ryan. This is big and it's getting worse and the time is still ticking. And unless we really understand where we're going this year, we need to be in communication and we need to understand. And we can't be looking at something in September, October. It's not going to work.
Anybody else? Any other comments? Ideas? Legislative Walter.
All right, and this may be completely separate, but was there any thought that I just noticed that the RFP for the budget analyst, is there, I assume this is not a position that could assist us in any time soon in looking at this current situation. Is that correct to assume?
Yeah, I think when are we expecting to get responses back? I think we're probably not gonna be, our timeline is July maybe. Is that correct, Amber? Can you help me with the timeline?
Give me 1 minute and I'll pull it up right now.
So then okay. I can, while she's doing that, I, you know, and maybe open the floor to March, you know, just what kind of resources we have right in front of us to start figuring out, you know, the best path forward.
So I, you know, you saw Bert Golnick's estimates that he put out in early April, and they were really conservative estimates, meaning he assumed things were going to be even worse than we were hearing at the time. So I think he did a really good job in sort of putting guardrails around how bad things could be. He used 17% decline in sales tax, and actually a very similar number. When you backed it out, it was a 17% decline in state aid. We're hearing now bigger numbers than that, you know, that sales tax could be 23.5% and that state aid could be more. And I would say it looks, from my perspective, like we are banking 100% on a federal bailout. That's the way it looks to me. But, you know, meaning even with the 10% reductions that I think the executive's team is working towards, it won't be sufficient without some federal help if things go as badly as some are saying. I also think that we have to look at the numbers that DiNapoli's office and the governor puts forward and realize that some of that is posturing to get Washington to do what we all want. You know, DiNapoli's office put forward a cash report that showed that we had a really substantial decline in cash receipts. A bunch of that was personal income tax payments that are delayed until July. It's not like New York State is not going to get that money. So it's a balancing act. You know, I put forward the idea of furloughing employees who are unable to work because of social distancing guidelines, who would make more money on unemployment through July 13th. There are actually like 12 or 13 other counties in New York that have done that. But the time has kind of run out for that. You know, that was an early April proposal that would have really needed to happen May. You need a bunch of time to get everything in order.
Get it rolling, yeah.
So but I do think there are other opportunities. I mean, another way to look at it, and a number of towns have taken the advice on this, they're looking at using shared work, and you now have at least 3 municipalities pursuing that one that's already implemented, which is the town of Marbletown. And that's where you take employees, you reduce their hours, they're able to get unemployment for what they're not working, and keep the employees whole. It's possible that, you know, the team, and Mark can speak to this, is working vociferously on those things. I am not in contact on that, and I'm not involved in that. I'm throwing out ideas because I do think if we do not get an extremely large federal bailout, we are going to be in very, very dire circumstances.
Well, and I know that this morning they were talking about the bailout, and really that, you know, right now what they're projecting from a federal perspective doesn't even cover what we've spent to date. And that's, and again, that was the governor saying that this morning.
On the state level, or I'm sorry.
The federal money isn't covering all of
what the state has spent to date, or what?
Yes, that's what they're saying.
I think it doesn't cover the potential losses in revenue plus what the state has spent. But from the county's perspective, if that HEROES bill were to go through, that would make us whole. I just do not, my judgment is that it is not going to be well received in the Senate.
Yeah, we're not counting on that HEROES bill as kind of an all-in bailout. I mean, we're still continuing, as someone said, you know, we're looking at those 10% cuts as the floor. Some of the departments have submitted drafts that would be larger than the 10%. We're still working with the departments to really finalize those. And I'm sure at the point that they're finalized, they will be inputted in the new world. They'll be shared with the legislature at some point. And there will be conversations, and you'll be aware of what the department's plans are. They're still being finalized. We're also working on some countywide plans that don't just involve a 10% cut across the board. And, you know, we're really pushing the retirement incentive, and I think we're seeing a decent amount of people who have expressed interest. Now, it's slower than we had hoped, it's just slower than we had hoped. When you give people to a set date, typically they're going to use all the way through that set date to give you an answer. And when you tell them that they can retire all the way through a certain date, they're going to push that out. So, you know, the program hasn't been as swift, but we've gotten a decent amount, and several have already put in their dates and their positions that we don't plan on backfilling. So we will see some savings, considerable amount of savings through that as well, and continuing to work on countywide savings.
Amber, do you have that information?
All of that said, it's unimaginable that probably, you know, if there isn't some kind of federal package of some amount, it means that there's going to be larger pain.
Amber?
The budget analysis proposals are due June 12th. So the selection committee would evaluate the proposals ideally the week of June 15th.
Thank you. Legislator Bartels?
So Mark, what's the timeline on getting those 10% proposals? When will the legislature get to see where we're at across departments with those proposals?
I don't have a set date for that. I know Chris and Bert are working with the departments going back and forth, and so I'd be making up a ballpark.
They were due on the 14th of April, weren't they?
Yeah. Their initial, the department's initial first take on a draft of a cut were due on the 14th of April. They're still going back and forth and working with some of the departments.
But you must have a sense of an end date, because every day that passes is 10% that's not cut, right? So it's like you actually, when you talk about the end date on the retirement, that was for the executive's office to set the retirement dates. You know, it was giving latitude to the executive's office, but in these 10% cuts, every day that goes by without the cut being in place is a lost opportunity. So I get that it's ongoing, but is it going to be wrapped up fairly soon?
There a lot of savings are currently happening because these departments are not spending money on anything that they don't absolutely need, and they're not hiring any positions, period. So we're, you know, just because we haven't a finalized draft that we can, the savings are occurring now. I would anticipate, again, it would be a guess. I know, unfortunately, Bert was off today and not able to make it. I think we'll have a better answer the next time Ways and Means comes around. If not much before that.
Thank you. Legislative Walter.
Thank you. First, I'd like to add, in addition to the efficacy of the shared work that March spoke about, I would like I don't know if the executive's office has thought about, but you know, in other counties, reduction to part-time is a faster way of saving money. Typically, people who have more seniority have actually been found to be as effective in part-time work as they are in full-time work, and it really helps in reducing costs, so perhaps looking at that. But I guess I feel like, just like in the school budget votes, I would love to see the A, the B, and the C. You know, if we get the federal funding one, if there's something in the middle, and then if we get nothing. And I think it's really important that we have the A plan, the B plan, the C plan, or at least the A and the B plan. And I think that I think it should be transparent. I understand you're saying it's all happening, but I would like to see what's actually happening. And if what's happening right now is the A plan, then I also would like to know what the B plan is if no other money comes through.
Understood.
Yes.
I just would like to add, you know, I get a little bit of a different window. I mean, we have added positions. We added a deputy for Lisa Berger's economic development position, and we moved her former deputy or someone from that department over to another department. So the hiring freeze is not as frosty as maybe we thought. I'm not saying that position is not needed. I think businesses are desperate for help, and I'm sure that office is completely flooded, but with requests for help. But we did add a position. We did add someone there.
This is Evelyn. That position wasn't part of that department's 10% cut.
So 10% is being proposed from that department through other expenditures.
Well, then can you clarify what a hiring freeze is? Because I thought it was even those positions that were funded through the state programs was frozen as well. So do you have a process in place for determining what positions get filled and which ones don't? So it's not a real hiring freeze. I guess I'm just trying to understand.
Anything that was COVID related, which that department is a department of, and all, sorry, I shouldn't be speaking over Evelyn, but just so you understand countywide, if there's a position in the health department, that's dealing with COVID, we're gonna probably fill that position if someone leaves and we need it. Just like that, there's been a lot of COVID-related business issues that the Department of Economic Development has had to deal with.
Any other questions, ideas, concerns? Legislator Bartels.
Yes, I mean, the hiring freeze, I think it's a valid point. I agree with Comptroller Gallagher. I think it's a department that probably needs the personnel and is getting a lot of calls currently. But a hiring freeze is a hiring freeze. And right after the hiring freeze was announced, I think we hired 11 people, including motor vehicle clerks. So I don't know how frosty the freeze is either. But I think that, you know, I agree with Legislator Walter. We're the Ways and Means Committee, and we have to be at the front end of this conversation, because this is going to be really difficult. No matter which the A, B, or C option is, I think it's going to be really difficult. So I don't know. I think we should strategize potentially some kinds of hearings where we get to talk to the departments as well. I'm just throwing it out there, and we can talk about this in the next month. But I think that we have to be at the front end of this conversation, because it's I think it's going to be really bad.
Legislator Ronk.
Thanks. Just to answer, I think a couple of people have, you know, asked, I think yourself, Madam Chair, and then Legislator Bartels, Legislator Walter, even the Comptroller, you know, about whether this is a real hiring freeze or not, or maybe it's not as frosty as it seemed. You know, I believe, if I remember correctly from the press, I know in my conversations with the county executive, he had deemed it a non-essential hiring freeze. So it wasn't a hard and fast, nobody's getting hired. You know, it was about positions that were non-essential, non-COVID related. And I think that we can all agree, I think we have all agreed that, you know, positions in the Department of Economic Development would definitely during this time be essential. At least that I view it that way.
Yes.
And I add one thing to that, and just because I heard the number 11 thrown out there. I mean, there were people who were orientated after the hiring freeze happened, but they were hired pre-freeze, and they had left jobs, and we had somewhat of an obligation contractually because of collective bargaining and other things to bring them on.
So they were already in the hiring pipeline.
They'd already been given offers. When you talk about a DMV clerk, everything had been done except for them being orientated at that point.
Okay, anyone else? Comptroller Gallagher?
I would like to just add one last thing, which I know is on the administration's mind because it has to be, and that is, you know, with so much of the county budget mandated, it's finding 10% is really challenging. I think we all want to see them come up with 10%. That would be great. But even less than 10% is going to be pretty helpful towards where we need to go. And we need to recognize that so much of what we're doing and providing is out of our hands and is mandated by Albany.
Mm-hmm. Okay, anybody else? All right, so we'll take all this in and come back to you all, but I appreciate all your input and perspectives. Thank you so much. Anybody have anything else, any old business they'd like to bring up? Legislator Walter.
I guess I sort of felt like I'd like some clarity. So will we get to see what the cuts are currently, what the proposed cuts are going to be, what the contingency cuts are going to be? When will we see that by?
I can't make any promises to what exactly the format of the document or what will be put in a new world. Like, so I think we should just.
But can we hope that
I'll reach out to Bert and Chris and we'll. You know.
Yeah, I hope that we'll see something before it goes into New World. I mean, you know, I think the opportunity to have a review or a sit down to review would be beneficial given, you know, our current situation here. So waiting for New World, it's a fait accompli, it's all done. There's little opportunity of collaborating and working together on this.
Understood.
So maybe we need to make a formal request. All right, anybody else? Okay, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Thank you.
Have a good night,
Thank you, everyone. Thank you.